I want to preach on fanning the flame. Fanning the flame. Paul the Apostle here is telling this church, quench not the Spirit. When you read that one verse, of course, it's only four words to the verse, but the key word in that verse is not the Spirit, but it's that word, quench. Quench not the Spirit. Amen. The word quench in the original Greek, and it is a picture word. In other words, it describes like a putting out of a fire. Amen. So the apostle here is literally saying, don't put out the fire of God. Do you see that? So when you see this church, he's writing to this church. They're having some problems with their doctrine as far as the coming of the Lord is concerned. They thought he was going to come right then. Of course, we know he didn't, and still in the future. Amen. But when you deal with chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, he talks about how the church was born. And in chapter 2, he deals with how the church was natured. And in chapter 3, he deals about how the church was established. Amen. And then Paul begins to exhort in chapter 4 and 5. In chapter 4, 1 through verse 8, he exhorts them, amen, to live holiness. In chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, he exhorts them to live in harmony. Amen. In chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he exhorts them to live in honesty. In chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 11, which deals with the coming of the Lord, he exhorts them to live in hope. Jesus is coming. And in chapter 5, in verse 12, through the last of the chapter, he deals, amen, and exhorts them to live in helpfulness. And so you find this text, this verse, right at the end of this letter. And he warns, he ends this letter with warnings and exhortations. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I'm going to deal with it a little bit later, but it also says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the word grieve. I mean, say it like you mean it. Grieve. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. I was studying today about this. I read that text and wrote it down. And I looked up the meaning in the Webster's Dictionary of the word grieve. And it means experience intense sorrow, to experience great sadness, something such as a death. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible doesn't play games. Bible, the Holy Ghost inspired the writer, amen, of the Apostle Paul when he wrote even the book of Ephesians and said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, when you say the word grieve, you're talking about emotions. You're talking about feelings. And so here he's telling us that the Spirit of God can be grieved. The Spirit of God can be saddened. Amen. And so when you read this text, quench not the Spirit. Here's what I want to deal with, and it might be more like a Sunday school class tonight. I just got to take my time and deliver my heart. But I think sometimes we read that text right there, and we think, well, if the Lord moves on you to go sing a song, don't quench the Spirit. Or if the Lord deals with you to make a little phone call, don't, and we just make it so small of a matter. I think Paul's got more in his sight than just that little type of incident. And then you got that scripture that talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit. I mean, and here's what I want to talk about. When you read this, and Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the flame of the Holy Ghost. We are a Pentecostal church, are we not? I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. I know our church is not as big as the other churches in the area. Amen. That doesn't believe in the moving and the manifestation of the Spirit of God. But we still believe in Pentecost. I still believe in speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. The world, amen, has took it and made it generic. And you can be a homosexual and speak in tongues. And you can be all kinds of stuff and speaking in a tongue. But it ain't the Holy Ghost. Even old Ray H. Hughes, the old Church of God preacher, said it's a bunch of gibberish. It's a bunch of just junk. It's not real. The Holy Ghost, when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, it is a witness to a sanctified life. Huh? Amen. And so when you hear this, when you hear Paul say, quench not the Spirit. Amen. I mean, let that be in bold black letters. Let it be flashing red lights. Amen. Let something just, amen, just come over you. Quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the flame. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, over and over in the scriptures, Amen. This natural phenomenon, this so full of mystery that we call fire, is used as a symbol, as the divine presence, amen, of God and of God's redemptive work in the human heart. Remember in the Old Testament, give you some examples. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2 and 4 through 4, where it talks about Moses when he's on the backside of the desert. You remember that? And he sees that bush and it's doing what? It's burning. Amen. And he sees that the bush isn't consumed and something speaks out of that bush, Brother Jeremy. Amen. Of course, it's God. Amen. And Moses turns and looks. Amen. And the voice says, Moses, take off your shoes, for on the place you stand is holy ground. Amen. The thing, amen, mesmerized, amen, Moses was not just the bush. Amen. It wasn't the burning, or amen, but it was the being that spoke out of that fire. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. The Bible talks about the fire in the tabernacle. And the Bible said, and I won't take time to read it because I got a bunch of stuff I want to deal with. Amen. But the Bible said, in that tabernacle, the fire shall never go out. It shall forever be burning. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw King Uzziah die, amen, the Bible said he saw the Lord, amen, high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. Amen. And he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But Isaiah said he seen something, an angel that took a coal off the fire of the altar of God. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. That angel brought down and touched the lips of the prophet of God. I'm talking about fire. I'm talking about something, amen, that can set your soul on fire. We do believe in Pentecost, don't we? We still believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach tonight on we need to fan the flame more in 2009, more in this end time. Amen. Yes, there are depressing things everywhere you look. The economy is going sour. Every pastor I talk, their churches are being affected by the economy. Pastors are talking and they're sad. Amen. Their salaries and different things in their church. You can tell there's hurting going on. But I would tell you, my friend, the church, amen, needs to fan the flame of the Holy Ghost and fire. Even in the New Testament, we find the same symbolism that persists in the New Testament. Amen. But there's one difference when the fire is mentioned in the New Testament. Whereas in the Old Testament, fire is a general symbol of God's, amen, nature and energy. But in the New Testament, fire is a particular a symbol of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And at the very threshold, friend, of the gospel, we are presented with this fact. John the Baptist said this, speaking even to his converts on the banks of Jordan River. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, are you with me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with, amen, the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, John, amen, there was a prophecy, amen, of the coming of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it was also a promise. He is coming. Amen. If he is sent, Jesus gave the promise. He said, I'll send to the Father. And when I get there, I'll pray to the Father that he will send you another comforter. So those men on the day of Pentecost, there in that upper room, men and women, they were there tarrying, waiting for the baptism. And when that Holy Ghost came as cloven tongues, amen, as a fire that set upon them, they knew that Jesus had went back to the Father. And the Father sent them. And it was a witness that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah of God. Scripture after scripture, amen, incorporates this symbol, fire, which is suggested in this passage. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire illuminates. Illuminates. Fire energizes. And fire refines. Fire illuminates. What is the word illuminate? It means shine light on somebody or something to make somebody, amen, with light or be lit up. It means to clarify something, to make something easier to understand. Have you ever read the Bible? And you've read it over and over and over, but you come across something and it's like a light bulb comes on. And that's a country way of saying it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever feel that? Man, I never seen that before. I never seen it that way. I understand that scripture now. Sometimes, you know, you got to get the Greek and the Hebrew and do some research and study until you understand something. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's sometimes, amen, that you don't fully understand something until you experience it. Huh? And then when you experience it and you read something in the Bible and it relates to your experience, you say, man, I never thought that. I've never seen that scripture like that. But now, you know, I've seen it. It illuminates. Amen. The word illuminate, number four, means to enlighten somebody, to provide somebody with knowledge or with intellectual or spiritual enlightenment. You know, the Bible said the love of God is shed. Listen. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. How? By what? The Holy. You don't even know God loves you unless the Holy Ghost lets you know. Huh? You don't even realize the love of God. The only reason you know that God loves you, you may not know it, you may not understand it, but it's the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible said. It illuminates. Fire energizes. Energize means to give somebody or something energy, to supply somebody or something with strength or power. You ever see a big locomotive? The motime that's got strength by fire? Amen. It means to make or become active, to become or cause something to become vigorously active. It refines, fire does, and so does the Holy Ghost. Fire illuminates, so does the Holy Ghost. Fire energizes, so does the Holy Ghost. Fire refines, so does the Holy Ghost. It's a type and shadow. Refines means to remove impurities, to produce a pure form of something by removing the impurities from it or become pure through such a process. Wow. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will come and lead you and guide you and to all truth. You know, years ago, more than now, we would talk about the Lord condemning that. You remember years ago when the old timers would stand and testify, and I ain't even say that long, about 25 years ago, but I remember years ago, even when I got saved, you'd hear folks say, you know, God condemned me of that. God condemned me of this. You don't ever hear people say that anymore. Those people, they want to do that which is right in their own eyes, huh? And their condemners wore out. Amen. Like the old Indian proverb, the old Indian boy come to his father, and he was trying to get he was trying to understand conscience. You know, conscience. If you do something bad, your conscience hurts, and you know, your conscience can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Hello? Amen. So the little boy, the Indian boy, comes to his chief and says, How do you have the conscience? Explain that to me. And the old Indian chief said, well, son, it's like this. He said, it's like if you put a triangle in your belly and it's got three sharp corners. And he said, every time you do something wrong, that triangle turns and those corners hurt. He said, but the more you do wrong, the more that triangle moves, and all of a sudden those corners become a circle, and you can actually do something and not hurt no more. The Bible calls it having your conscience seared with what? A hot iron. But I'm telling you, God wants us to be led by the Holy Ghost. Stay with me. It refines. Now the rim of our relationship for the Holy Ghost. And I love this. I put a yellow sticker here so I wouldn't forget to say it. Matter of fact, when I first read it and I got this and began to work on this, I remember sitting right over there in my office. I just began to weep and I began to cry to realize what Paul was saying in Thessalonians. Are y'all with me? Amen. I know I'm more teaching than preaching, but stay with me. In the rim of our relationship to the Holy Ghost, Paul is simply recognizing that the Spirit of God is more than an it. He's a living presence in our lives. Now I know folks get carried away, and I've heard preachers think they're real spiritual and say, well, the Holy Ghost is not it, and people just make fun of us. The old country folks would say, I've got it. You ever heard that song? Something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. Ooh, I've got it. Well, that's not it. Well, I understand the person, but when we're saying, I got it, I got the Holy Ghost. I got it. We're talking about the experience. Come on here. We're not stupid. Amen. Like them secular churches want to make us feel sometimes. Like we're just a bunch of hillbilly, idiotic people that ain't never read the Bible. We can't hardly write a check. You know what I'm saying? Well, let's move on. Amen. But Paul is trying to recognize that the Spirit is more than just it's a living presence. And he speaks of him here as a fire, not merely to symbolize his ministry of cleansing and empowering, but mainly his living, energizing presence. Don't miss this. Please listen right here. He is emphasizing that this is a person-to-person relationship. Amen. It is here that the danger arises. There's a danger. Quench not. There's a danger right there. You see that? Well, I've just read that Bible. I never really thought of that. Quench not. It's a danger. Don't do this. Is that in y'all's Bible? quench not what? The Spirit. That's where the danger arises, in the realm of moral relationships and spiritual experiences, the realm in which the Spirit of God deals with us and we respond to Him. It is alarmingly possible for us to hinder and to hurt the influence of the Holy Ghost. Give you an example, just like what happened Sunday morning when the Holy Ghost was here and conviction was here and the Holy Ghost was shining in this service. Give me an example. You can walk out those doors at noon tomorrow. You can go outside in your front yard tomorrow at noon when the sun's shining the brightest. You can throw your fist up at that sun. Curse it for everything it's worth. But it won't hinder that sun from shining. Are you getting this? It won't hinder that sun from shining. But God dealt with the Holy Ghost so to mankind. And when God shined that Holy Ghost in our hearts, the finite can interfere with the infinite. Are y'all getting this? The power to hinder the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. But when God shines in your direction and into your heart and your mind by the light of the Holy Ghost, you can, if you choose, prevent that light from reaching you and doing you any good. In other words, the human in this realm can frustrate the divine. The finite can hinder the infinite. It may not touch you. But if you want to please the Lord, to realize that you and I can quench the Spirit of God and put out the flame of God. How many here has ever been checked by the Holy Ghost? You're fixing to do something wrong. You're fixing to say something wrong. You're fixing to touch something. You're fixing to look at something. You're fixing to go someplace. You're fixing to step in someplace. You're fixing to talk to somebody. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just checks you. You and I have the power to let that influence of the Lord affect our decision, yes or no, right or wrong. Or we can just say and push that aside. Push the Spirit's influence aside and go right on past the move. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you better read the book of Acts, because Paul said, Holy Ghost forbade me to go there. Holy Ghost forbade me to go over here. Holy Ghost forbade me to go over yonder. Holy Ghost forbade me to do. Holy Ghost moved on me to go over there. Holy Ghost moved on me. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can move on you. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can be just saved 3 days. And the Spirit of God is so sweet. Even Sister Cassie, he can talk to you. You're not even knowing much about, you know, the Bible and haven't read the whole Bible yet. I didn't when I first got saved. It was a long time before I read the entire Bible. But that Spirit that came into you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, amen, that Spirit will begin to lead you and it will begin to guide you and it will begin to teach you and be real sensitive. Here's what to pray. Lord, let my ears be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm on a different track. I'm on a different road. I was on the road to hell. I was doing my own thing, going everywhere I wanted to, saying what I wanted to say. But now I've asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I want to be a Christian. So now I'm walking a different walk. I'm talking a different talk. I don't go the places I used to go. I'm doing things different. And each day he's teaching me. Each day I go to say something. Something just don't feel right. Something just says, don't say that. You can't say that. Huh? I was in a service preaching revival. This is a little humorous, but I was in a revival up in Virginia preaching for Paul Marquis. We had a 5-week revival. Amen. And there was a very large lady that got saved. I mean, I'd be skinny compared to her. I mean, she was a great woman. And I'm trying to say that nice. She was a great woman. And I mean, she broke 2 pews in that 5-week revival. That's how great she was. I'm serious. She was great. She was a great woman. She come here and she didn't know how to sit down. Kapump, you know. I mean, when you're way my size and you go sit down on a pew, you look for that brace. You skinny folks, you don't ever think of that brace. You just sit down anywhere you want to sit down. Come on. I'm going to be on my own on this one. But you skinny folks, you don't ever wonder where's that brace at on that pew. But if you're big as me, you know, you've been down the road a little bit. You sit where that brace is at right to the head. You know, I woke up God and the Sabrina Steps. They don't have no middle braces. They're about 4 feet wide. Made out 2 to 6. So when I go up them, I walk over here on the edge. Right on the edge. Hoping I can bail and all them and just jump right up through the right in the middle. Not me. I got a little sense. Amen. I like that. So this big lady here, she was there. And, amen. And she had just prayed. You didn't know anything. Amen. There were several gypsies got saved. That means I can't remember if she was one of them or not. She didn't know anything. And she had been coming to church for about 2 weeks. And Brother Paul asked her to testify. She got in a big way of testifying one night. And she got so mad at the devil, she started cussing. Right in church. Seriously, she just started cussing the devil. She hated him so bad. And so she just started, seriously, I mean, I know it's a little strange, but she started cussing the devil right in church. But Paul went, whoo, praise God, hallelujah. Let's praise saints right here. You know, she just, you know, just, and I know that's human, but that really happened. But how many knows the Holy Ghost will teach you? I mean, believe it or not, there are some folks ain't raised to do, they ain't raised with any kind of sense of dignity whatsoever. Amen. Amen. And some of you are like it. Some, you know, some of us, we just had to learn, didn't we? It was the Spirit. That Spirit just taught us. I didn't know how to be a good husband. Still working on it. I'll tell you what, I heard the Holy Ghost say a few times, deal with me. Tell me straighten up, in other words, huh? Give you an example. You've heard me tell it, but for the new folks here, amen, we've been married for about a year and a half. We're having some rare marital trouble for newlyweds. Y'all probably never had that. Amen. But we're having some very serious trouble. We're about to get a divorce. No, we didn't talk to a lawyer. Don't get me. Don't stretch it farther than what it is. But we've just been married about a year and a half. And we was in church. And I was praying, God, Lord, in my secret prayer, I was going, oh, God, we just straighten Beverly up. God, she's about to destroy our marriage. Oh, God, open her eyes and let her see, God, just how long and how she needs to straighten up and do better. Amen. And I was serious. And I prayed that way for about 3 weeks. And I never will forget, I even fasted. Amen. And I wanted a little fast. I was fast like a day or something. It got, we was having trouble. We was going to church every service. Amen. But we was just ignorant. We had good parents, but they weren't Christian parents per se. And so we just lacked, both of us lacked. And so, but anyways, I don't forget, I fasted and praying. And then one day I went praying, the Spirit spoke to me and said, it's not her, it's you. Said, you've got the Spirit of your Father. I could have quenched it right there. I could have said, no, that's not the Holy Ghost right there. No, the Holy Ghost no better than that. Amen. But when you know God's voice, sometimes he don't tell you you can have banana pudding every day. Sometimes he might say go left and you want to go right. Sometimes he might say no when you want a yes. Are y'all with me? Sometimes he might say go ahead when you don't want. I mean, he might just go against the grain. He's not a genie in a bottle that you rub three times and come out and get three wishes. When you're led by the Holy Ghost, when you start on this Christian walk and you're led by the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, quench not, don't put that out. Whether you understand it or not, don't put that out. Amen. I had a bus ministry in Hazard, and I got to hurry. I don't want to preach much longer. But you've heard me tell this, some of you, for the new ones. Just a good point right here to throw in here. I know we'll forget. We was at a bus ministry in a very wicked, vile, very ungodly little trailer park. Matter of fact, they condemned it about a year or so after we left. It was that bad run down. Me and my wife, and we was doing the bus ministry. We got a little van, church van, 12, 15 passenger van, picking up kids out of there. We'd been doing it for about 2 or 3 months, and I got to know all the people, you know, pretty much basically by name, first name, and a lot of them didn't come. And we went in there. I'm talking about drugs and probably prostitute, just very wicked place. And one day, I drove in there by myself, and I was going, you got to cross a little bridge, a little creek there, go into the trailer park. And one day, amen, Brother Bubba, I crossed that bridge, and I maybe been praying in my mind. I mean, I wasn't as deeply in the Spirit, is what I'm trying to say. I was just going and knocking on a few doors, remind the kids we'll be here maybe in the morning or something, pick you up. I think it was maybe a Saturday afternoon. And when I crossed that bridge, the Spirit spoke to me. The Lord not audible. I've never heard the voice of the Lord audible. He does do that. I've never heard it. But just in my heart, in my spirit, I heard the Spirit speak to me. He said, don't ever come back here alone. Don't ever come back here alone. Don't ever come back here alone. And I say this gracefully and humbly. I never for the rest, probably 3 or 4 more years that we worked on that trailer park, I never, not one time, I don't care if it was an emergency, I never crossed that bridge again alone. I always had my wife. I always had another brother from the church. I never went to that trailer park again alone. You might say, well, that sounds silly. Well, it might be you, but I'm going to trust the Spirit. It might, do you see what I'm saying? I didn't really understand. I wasn't flirting with nobody. Nobody was flirting me. I'm too ugly and too fat. But you don't know. People, the devil, he don't care if you're 300 pounds or 110. He doesn't matter. if he can set you up with a trap. But what I'm trying to say is I heard the Spirit. I felt that touch, and I leaned. And I didn't lean to my own. I didn't say, well, Lord, I'm strong. I'm a pastor. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I don't have to worry about enough. No. When I sensed that Holy Ghost and it wore me, don't ever come. I never went back across that trap. Never. Not one time. I got to hurry. In closing, there's three things I want to mention about this flame. How is it possible for us to quench the Spirit of God? How is it possible? The three important passages in the New Testament, in each of which is revealed some particular phase of the active ministry of the Holy Ghost, and in connection with which we may see how it is possible for us to put out the Spirit's flame. The first thing the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them who obey him. The ministry of the Holy Ghost, right here in this verse, is linked up with witnessing. Paul is saying, don't put out the fire of that testimony, of that witnessing. Now, that scripture there in Acts 5:32 follows a story of when Paul, amen, and Peter, or excuse me, Peter, some of them, not Paul, but Peter and some of them were preaching the gospel, and some of the Sadducees and them got upset. You remember that? And they went and arrested them and told them, don't you dare preach that name no more. You remember that? Wanted to shut them up, right? But in the wee hours of the morning, the Holy Ghost come, unlocked the door, got them out, and the Sadducees didn't know nothing about it. Early the next morning, Peter went where? Down to church preaching again. Amen. Those Sadducees out of that prison didn't affect him. He didn't let it quench his spirit. Amen. They went on back down to the early the next morning. Said, go, they're down there preaching again. Do what? I told them, bless God. Go. He probably said, bless God. He said, go get them boys. Go get Peter. Yeah, bring them back up here. They bring them back up there. They arrest him. Amen. And they tell him, we told you not to speak in that name. You filled Jerusalem. Boy, I like the scripture when Peter said, man, what an answer. He said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That word ought was the flame. We ought. Did you get that? It was the flame in Peter. We ought to obey God rather than. Don't put out the flame of that testimony. But you know what? Some people, when they first get saved, they tell everybody they meet how they got saved. They're on fire for God. God save me. God save me. God save me. Oh, God save me. God save me. But after 2 or 3 years, that fire, that testimony that you got, hardly ever even tell it no more. Come on. I had a man in my church in Hazard. His name was Brother Wayne, Brother Wayne Boggs. If you ever go to Bond Church, he's the one that does the helicopter spin when he gets moved on by the Holy Ghost. Some of you shaking your head. Some of you seen him. I can't do it. I don't want to throw my arm out. I mean, he'd take his arm and just go straight up. Go straight up. I mean, as fast as you can do it. I mean, you don't want to get in his way. You want to get your kids in the pew and hide over him. You want, when he gets slinging that arm. Old Wayne, boy, he worked in the coal mines, still works in the coal mines. And old Wayne, every time he testified, I thank God. Amen. 7 years ago, God brought me in here and I was on dope and we was about to get a divorce. And God saved me. Amen. And you, next service, God, thank God. God, he brought me in here. I mean, the same old, same old, same old. Amen. The whole 6 years I was there. Amen. But you know what? Amen. Old Brother Wayne Boggs never lost that flame of that testimony. He never forgot God saved him. God saved him. God, it's been a long time. No, I don't want to go there. Has it been so long time since some of you told somebody about God saving you? Sort of, y'all got a little cool right there, homie. I mean, what's this scripture say in Acts 1 and 8? But you shall see, let's see, what does that go? Power after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon, and you shall be, is that the witnesses? There's that word again. You mean I need to be witness? Well, how's that flame? Well, since I thought that quenched the spirit was like if God just dealt with you to lay hands on Susie beside of you, and I didn't think of it. Quench not the spirit. Charles Barnett tells him of a man he worked with. Man, I got to hurry. I'm sorry. Come to the piano. Hope it'll make him think I'm quitting anyhow. And Charles Barnett tells him working with a man for several years and in his youth, and he never witnessed to the man, and the man was committed suicide. And I've heard Charles Barnett say myself, he said, I have prayed. He said, I know this is going to sound stretchy and exaggerated, but he said, it so affected me that I worked right beside that man, never told him, never witnessed to him. Not one time did I ever tell him about Jesus. And he committed suicide and went to hell. He said, He said, I have prayed thousands of times that that man's blood won't be on my hand when I stand before him on judgment day. Who do you meet every day that you quench the fire of your testimony and you don't just share? At a garage, getting your oil changed and standing around and you've got 30, 40 minutes to wait and two or three people there waiting. And look for the opportunity. Look for the opportunity. Is this all right? I ain't coming across mean, Emma. I don't want to. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to fan the flame. The baptism of the Holy Ghost fuels the fire. Amen. He increases the desire to share Christ with others. He empowers with new strength. Amen. Unction for the task. Mark Smith, Batesville, Arkansas. I was in revival. Mark Smith was unfaithful. He was a church member of that church, a homeless church, but he was unfaithful. He'll tell you that. He came with his wife, but he really wasn't like he should be. No, Mark Smith somehow just got in it. He had a move of God in that revival. Brother Anthony Howard there. And old Mark Smith got hungry for the Holy Ghost. Got seeking for the Holy Ghost every night. Toward the end of that revival, Mark Smith got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, I never forget, Brother Anthony Howard, the pastor, called me 6 months later and said, Brother Simpson, he said, I've never seen Brother Mark like this. He said, he's not missed a service. He hasn't missed a service. He's testifying. What was it, that Holy Ghost? It brought that energizing. It brought that refining. It brought that illumination. It got him. Matter of fact, old Mark is preaching the gospel now. He calls me about once or twice a year because he got the Holy Ghost underneath my ministry. And amen, just how you doing? Man, oh man, he called me when his, I think, 11-year-old daughter got the baptism a couple years ago. Just excited. Still excited about God. The second thing, amen, about, amen, the Holy Ghost being quenched is prayer. The Bible said in the book of Romans 8:26, I'm hurrying. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities when we don't know how to pray. He can help us pray. Here, the ministry of the Holy Ghost is linked up with the prayer life of a believer. The point that Paul is making is in this particular verse is that you cannot have real prayer apart from the Holy Ghost. Wow. I heard Tommy Bates in person many, many years ago. Some of you know Tommy. He used to go here and preach quite a bit, probably 20 years ago. Tommy Bates, they were a holiness church back then. Very strict, very powerful. Tommy Bates was Claude Ely's youth pastor in the 70s. Had about 80 in their youth choir. Powerful, powerful. Tommy Bates had an aunt named Aunt Helen. Aunt Helen had fasted for 37 days. I heard Tommy tell this in person. Tommy said his Aunt Helen had been fasted for 37 days. He said on that 37 days, she had a son who was an alcoholic. Talking about prayer, talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Powerful lady, he said. Praying lady. They were too. That church was highly well known in that area, in the holiness movement, in that area in the 70s. Powerful, powerful church. And he said his Aunt Helen one night about 3 o'clock woke up and said she heard the devil just laughing. She looked down at the foot of the bed. You can be this or what. It don't matter to me, but this is what he said. He said she looked down at the edge of the bed and seen a figure. She sensed it was the devil. And she said the devil was laughing and said, I'm taking your son to hell tonight. I'm taking your son to hell tonight. Tommy said his Aunt Helen began to pray and rebuke that demonic spirit, the devil. He said, no, you're not. And she began to plead the blood. She was an old just prayer warrior. And that Holy Ghost got in there and helped her. She started rebuking that demonic spirit. And amen. And the more she rebuked, the louder that demonic spirit got. I'm taking him to hell. I'm taking your son to hell tonight. I'm taking him to hell. And Tommy said that he had the police report. If I remember correctly. Amen. That morning, there was a flash flood in the northern part of the hills of Kentucky there. And said that her son, that lady's son, the very time that she said the devil woke her up. Amen. He tried to cross the low water bridge. Where you remember them, the old times, some young folks probably won't remember. But years ago, they used to make the bridges low in the water when the flood came, come over. And said her son was drunk. And he come up to this bridge, and he tried to cross it as the water was rushing over it. And it overtook his car. And he began to toss the car. And somehow it slung him out. And when they found his body the next morning, there had somehow been a log that got pinned him up on the bank with his body laying down in the river and his head up out of the water, alive and breathing. You talking about the Holy Ghost? Are y'all with me? He knows your need. He can help you. Sister Karen,
Has the Holy Ghost ever woke you up, burning your heart about somebody? I know He has. You've been saved for a few years. You sense the Spirit of God is quickening your heart to pray for somebody, pray for something. You don't even know why. You go to prayer. I was over here Sunday between services, and everybody was gone. I think Brother Tinsman was back here. I can't remember. But I was in here praying, and I just felt like praying for Sister Athey. I knew she was going to have surgery Monday morning, so I was really sort of had her on my heart. I was praying for her that God would help her. I mean, I no longer got up from prayer. I think walked into my office and sat down, and my phone rang, and it was her. And she said, "Brother Simpson, I just wanted to call you." She said, I want you to pray for me." And I was so glad I could say, "Sister Athey, I just got done. I was just over there praying. I was at church right now, and I just got done praying a good prayer for you." Well, I was up there Monday morning, and everything went good. You know, God can help you. The Spirit can help you in your prayer life. But you remember a while ago, and I'm closing with this. Remember a while ago when I quoted that scripture out of Ephesians chapter 3? Grieve not the Spirit. Remember that scripture? Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Excuse me, chapter 4 and verse 30. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know that other flame? The third one? The first one was your testimony. The second one is prayer. The third flame is love. Because when he gets done talking about grieving the Spirit, and remember about the folks dying and the grieving? Here's what it says. "Let all bitterness..." Hang on a second here, Hope. Please. "Let all..." I want you to hear these words. Right after the grieving, here's what... You mean bitterness? And grieve the Spirit? "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be done what? Be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiven." I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive her. I'll go to the grave. Wow. Grieving. Grieve not the Holy. Are y'all getting this? See, I think the Lord's talking to some of us. Oh, I know it's quiet. We're not running and jumping. But this ain't a running and jumping message. This is one of those that, you know, you dig a little bit. And you try to stir hearts and lives and bitterness. What's hindering the flow of God's Spirit in your life? Is that word bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking or that unforgiving spirit? Wow. The church at Hazard had been in a split before I got there, 40-40. I came in that church in April, I think it was. The following February, I think we had a revival with Brother Bill Houston. God had helped us. A lot of the split was there that night. Matter of fact, for 3 years, they had never come back. And the folks at my church had never went over. That was before I come along. But after I took the church, we went over there and tried to gain a little fellowship and ease the tension some. And it did. God helped us. And they all liked Brother Houston, and our church liked Bill Houston, so I had them for a revival. And so all that church come over one night, and Bill Houston preached like only Brother Bill Houston can. Man, he had that whole church, everybody on their feet, just crying. I mean, he just got that thing with the Lord's help, just got it built right up. And then right at the end of his message, I don't remember exactly how he did it, but then he turned and he said, he was talking about God's love toward us and us being unworthy, us so unworthy. Man, he made you feel like you weren't a worm. You was below a worm. You were a dog. You was worse, and God loved you. And then he just had us loving God. And he said, you know, he said, and then we're supposed to love one another like that. So many words. Boy, it got quiet. You could tell the Lord just smote everybody's heart. And then the first time and only time I've ever seen this, for the next 2 hours, I told him, I said, cut off the tape. For the next 2 hours, one by one, out of the entire 90 people that were there that night, one by one, they made their way up here under the mic. They did it themselves. I didn't tell them to do it. I didn't say anything about nothing. One of them just got up and done it. said, I'm sorry. Somebody else come and said, but Simpson, can I say something? Yeah, I'm sorry. Then a preacher's wife got up and she said, I'm sorry. She said, some of you, I didn't have anything bad. I didn't know anything bad. And she said, I just made stuff up. Preacher's wife. And she just sobbed and she said, I'm sorry. Wow. Do you know that church that had been split for about 8 or 9 years is back together now? Back together? Wow. That's unheard of, ain't it? A split back together in a holiness church? Unheard? No, it's not unheard of. Go ask Tony Floyd right down here at Bay Manette. They had a split. Let's say split for several years. They got back together. Matter of fact, Brother Chuck Scrivener was such a man of God that he was pastoring, and he could tell that he was in the way to that split putting back together. So he stepped out of the way, resigned his church, so that church would come back together, got another preacher, and that church is still together to this day. I'm talking about love. See, that's not human. Human is if you hurt me, I'll never forget it. If you hurt me, I'll never forgive you. If you hurt me, I'll go to the grave. But God's love says, forgive. Let's stand all over the house. Quench, everybody say it, quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the fire. So tonight, if you sense the Holy Ghost talking to you, don't put out that flame. He don't twist your arm, does he? He won't twist your arm to say, I'm sorry. He won't twist your arm to make you go say, forgive me. No, he just softly and tenderly, Brother Brad, just deal with our hearts and nudge us a little bit. But then we can fan that flame. Just fan that flame. Or we can try to smother it out. Let's pray.